take the logos off, roll on this. My brain is a waterproof. It's like one of those dry bags. My brain is like a dry bag made of solid steel. It just, I never
lose
any
information. But
that wouldn't work.
Because the point of a dry bag is that it still keeps air on the inside so it floats, Andy.
Well, then
solid
it's a vault.
Steel.
It's a vault. It's an airtight something. That's what my brain
it's
is.
It's airtight, though.
It's airtight. It's complete. No oxygen gets in
yeah.
here,
and,
baby.
And yeah. Nothing new gets in. Nothing gets out.
Some
but what's
new.
In there isn't going anywhere.
Okay, some new stuff gets in.
When you open the safe up,
mm-hmm.
What's the passcode?
You know what it is. I can't say it, but you know what it is. 1999.
I don't have too much going on.
Okay.
Actually, I got two things.
Okay.
One.
I love it. My favorite thing that you do is that fucking quick turn. It's like, you know, I love pancakes. Actually, pancakes are the fucking most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Dude, I will talk some pancakes first. We'll make this a new number one.
No,
dude,
I don't want to talk pancakes. That was just an example,
man. Why, you don't
man.
Like pancakes?
Of course I do.
Dude.
Of course I do.
I haven't had a
but
good pancake
kind of
in a long time.
Well, you got to search them out.
Dude, with some chips. Loaded to the gills with syrup. I think we've talked about
chips.
This before. Yeah.
Got it.
I think we've talked about this before. Like, when we were really, really young, we would have sleepovers with these guys that we played hockey with, and when we would sleep at our one buddy's house, his dad would always make pancakes, mm-hmm. and we would ask him to throw some chocolate chips in there for the boys, and he'd be like, you guys are eating candy bars for breakfast. He'd call him, here's a candy bar, here's a candy bar. He'd call him candy bars. I always thought that shit was hysterical.
I'm glad you have that pleasant
dude,
memory.
I need to the gills with syrup. Like, I want you to be able to pick up my pancake and wring it out like a sponge.
Yeah, I hear
of
that.
Of syrup.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I want there to be an excess amount of syrup left on my plate when I'm done with my cakes.
Literally, whenever I go.
Because there's no more that can be absorbed.
Whenever I go to a breakfast spot with somebody, I'm like, you use the syrup first. They're like, do you want the syrup? I'm like, you go ahead, because I'm going to use the rest of it.
You're going nuts. You're going that
time. I really drown that shit.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Dude, nothing. There's two things that piss me off about watching people eat pancakes. I don't know. You definitely don't fall into the first category based on this conversation so far, but I hate when people zoop with the syrup.
Yeah.
Like three little lines of syrup.
What do you like?
Like,
bread?
Dude,
eating
you're
going to
choke on your pancake. It's going to be a dry ass, dusty ass pancake. Fucking load that puppy
dry
down
ass,
with
dusty
syrup.
Ass Bisquick. That's actually one of my favorite quotes of yours. I don't know if you remember saying this.
No.
I ain't eating no Bisquick pancakes. That's a Matthew
really?
Cannon original. Yeah. I don't know
I
if you
think I would eat a Bisquick pancake.
I'm
I
sure
like,
you would. Well, you're growing up. You're growing up.
I like
Hungry Jack.
Dumplings. Bisquick dumplings. You all right?
Yeah, the Celsius just makes me burp so much.
Yeah, that's because there's 10,000 milligrams of caffeine in it.
Caffeine makes you burp?
It probably.
I don't know about that, sister.
My second take on pancakes. You should always, always, always. This is an order in which you eat your pancakes.
Okay.
You butter the cakes.
Yeah.
You cut them to completion. And then you hit them with the syrup.
I agree.
I hate people that, well, most people do butter, like most people do butter their pancakes first, but I hate people that pour syrup over their pancakes and then cut them as they eat them.
That's crazy.
One, it's not efficient,
you know,
dude.
I'll tell you what,
it's not efficient.
I'll tell you what. If we break that down, that's what's wrong with America, because the people who are cutting individual bites of their pancakes, they don't want to do the work. They don't want to put the work in, Matthew. They're afraid to get their hands dirty. And you and I both know that the most rewarding thing ever is something that you get, a satisfaction that you get.
You earn those fucking
pancakes.
You
earn it by chopping
and
them up, man.
Also, you can just hum, you can go to town.
Absolutely.
And you can save the right bites, right? Like, you can save the soggy middle bites for the end,
yes.
too. Like, you kind of, you cut it all up and then you eat. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, I know you know. That's me on pancakes. The second thing that I was thinking about today, and I actually saw it earlier, and then I just saw it again now on my phone. Did you see that Britney Spears got banned from, like, the Four Seasons in L.A. for jumping in, like, their fountain topless?
No, what?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I think that's what happened.
I got to tell you, I don't think I want to
see. Oh, for going topless at the pool. Britney Spears has reportedly been banned from the Four Seasons in L.A. for going topless in the pool. Let me do a little quick fact check.
Yeah, do a little research on that. Because if it's just a... If it's like... You got to have at least a couple warnings. You know what I mean? And if she keeps... If she doesn't put a top on, then... But banned is tough. I can see her getting kicked out of the pool. But banned? It seems... That honestly seems like a lot. And I will say... I'll go on the record saying this. I don't want to see Britney Spears' tits. I just don't.
So, it said... So, sources have been saying that... staff at the Westlake Village Resort have been driven crazy by a pop star's antics. Britney was a longtime guest at the five-star family-friendly hotel, which is just minutes from her $14 million mansion. So I don't know why she was at the hotel. Previously,
nicer pool, maybe? I don't know.
Well, temporarily banned for now. I don't know. And then she went nuts, and they went like she tried to like whatever. So here's the thing: one of the lines she said when they were trying to keep her out was, "Do you know who I am? I fucking built this place. I spent so much money here. I could have bought the goddamn hotel." Here's the thing.
Okay.
Anybody who has anything bad to say about Britney Spears after reading that, this is your fault. She's obviously a lunatic, I would have to say.
Yeah. Have you seen the
video? I don't know if that's the correct term.
No, I think that's medically she's a lunatic. Have you seen the videos of her dancing with knives?
No.
Well, now you know.
And, like, people were so concerned about, like, getting her freedom. Seems to me like maybe she shouldn't have been free.
Lock her up, baby. Lock her up.
I'm not saying that, but, like, maybe there's a reason her parents were put... in charge of her.
Well, I don't know, dude. I don't know if... I mean, sure, it sounded like her...
I never watched the doc.
I don't... Look, I don't think her family is great. Maybe her dad shouldn't have been the one to have the conservatorship on her, to have that chokehold on her.
Somebody should have the reins.
But somebody's got to be looking out for her. Because she really... It's true. Like, even when we were all freeing Britney, which is... This is one of the dangerous things about social media, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we all just kind of... convince ourselves of a truth that
people just banned it out. People were like, dude, it'd be funny if we freed Britney. And now look what she's doing. Family-friendly hotel. There's kids that are scarred for life.
Yeah. Wow. That's a pretty big insult.
Yeah.
but true. But you're not entirely wrong. It's a tough one. But I mean, if this had been the 90s though, and you're like a kid at the Four Seasons, and you're going down the water slide, and you see a topless Britney
That's
Spears.
The best day of your
best
life.
Best day of your entire life. You never stop, stop telling people that story.
What's that song? The taste of your lips, I'm on a high. I'm toxic.
I'm addicted to you. When you know that you're toxic. You know, I knew this guy who was a pretty big Britney Spears fan. And he would go around asking people, like, what's your favorite Britney Spears song? And I swear to you, I swear to God, Matthew, every straight white guy that he asked that question to said Toxic was their favorite. And it's true. Why do white guys love Toxic so
much?
Well,
I think it started with the music video.
Because that's the one with her and the snake.
The other song, what's the one where she's dressed up as the flight attendant? Emily?
She's dressed up as a schoolgirl.
Oh.
Well, that's Hit Me Baby One More Time, or Oops, I Did It Again,
no,
or whatever.
She goes flight
but, yeah, there's a
mode.
Flight attendant one.
Promiscuous. Promiscuous. No, that's not her.
No, that's Nelly Furtado, dude.
Yeah. What song am I thinking? It's something like that. I gotta look it up now.
It was on the back end of her, like, when she was doing her hits. It's Britney, bitch.
Dude.
Is one of those?
No, it's Toxic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Son of a bitch. What a dynamic music video.
Yeah.
Got to find out who directed that. Give them their flowers.
Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it. I couldn't come up with the name of another Britney Spears song. You said
Work? I think Work is the name of that one song. It's like, you want a Maserati?
Never heard
You want a hot body? You better work, bitch. Something like that.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good, it sounds like.
It's not really a great song. There's really only three words.
You want a mother at it?
You want a mother at it? You want a hot body? You better work, bitch.
Womanizer. Familiar with
that's
that
song. That's a Britney Spears song?
Yeah. Oops, I Did It Again.
Obviously.
Circus
classic.
Was like one of the ones toward the end of her career, I think.
Sure. I kind of remember that one, but I don't know how it goes.
I don't really either. I gotta look it up.
Circus time. All the clowns coming round. Elephants. Lions. Cotton candy for everyone.
Oh, I think it's a... Yeah, I don't know if I... What else she got on here? I don't know. That's really all I got that I recognize. She got a song with G-Eazy.
She's got songs with a lot of people. She's done a lot of great collabs. Her kissing Christina Aguilera.
Oh, yeah, work, bitch. Yeah. She got she's on that Elton John 2022. Elton John and Britney Spears, Hold Me Closer.
Wow. Ugh. You know, I feel like Britney's voice would not be good on that song. And I kind of want to do my little...
Is that the Tony Danza song? Hold me closer, Tony Danza. I'm kidding. Andy.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Like, yeah, of course. Of course it is. You don't know Tiny Dancer?
Yeah.
Levon, underrated Elton John song, dude. I showed my friend that song.
Who sings Benny?
You know that's Elton. You know that's Elton.
That's all I wanted to know.
It's
Benny!
You just... Do it for back here next time. No. Just hit him with a little
anybody
back.
That's driving the car backslide just spun
Benny
out of control.
Backslide Benny. But they know. Benny right, and
anyway.
The Jets. This is, you can already feel it's a heavy singing episode. Oh, okay. Folks, I'll level with you. The way the weather's been, cold, wet, disgusting, I don't want to leave the house, and you probably don't either. I've been getting everything delivered lately, and it has been awesome. The good news is you can stay inside, stay cozy all winter long when you use Instacart. Because with Instacart, you can get not just groceries, but some of your favorite products from some of your favorite local stores delivered right to your front door in as little as 1 hour. It's the best. And the good news is, Tune the Cooler listeners right now get free delivery on their first order of $10 or more. All you have to do is spend $10 and Instacart will deliver whatever it is you're looking for right to your front door. No delivery fee. How can you beat that deal, folks? You can't, all right? Just to get that deal, all you have to do is hit the link in this episode description. Start making things a little easier on yourself. Stay warm, stay cozy this winter, and start using Instacart today. A great way to support this show is actually to do something nice for yourself and go check out all the great merch we have got over at snackspot.se/creator/teespring.com. Merch not just for this show, but also for Scheming and Dreaming and Quested, the other two podcasts that we're producing right here. We've got hoodies. We've got t-shirts. We got long sleeves, hats, bucket hats, slides. The list goes on and on and on. Apparel. What I meant to say was glassware, you know, drinks and things like that, those cool metal water bottles, fanny packs, notebooks, all kinds of great stuff, whatever it is you're looking for. Top quality, by the way, okay? Because I know a lot of their shows, a lot of companies, whatever, they'll cheap out on the merch, you know? They'll use that Gibson brand t-shirt or whatever, try and make a quick buck off you, you know? And then you get the shirt in the mail, and you're so excited because you're supporting something that you really are a fan of, you're passionate about. You try to put the shirt on, it fits like a goddamn cardboard box. We wouldn't do that to you, okay? The merch you're going to find over at snackspot.se/creator/teespring.com is top of the line, so make sure you go check that out. Hit the link in this episode description. Support the show and do something a little nice for yourself. Folks, very exciting news. The Snack Spot Patreon is live. It's patreon.com/snackspot. Link, of course, is going to be in this episode description. Go check it out. We've got a lot of great stuff up there already. Some backlogged episodes of the Captions On podcast where we're going through all the Disney Channel original movies. It's a real roller coaster. We've got a lot of other great stuff planned for it. Lots more to come. And the best part is right now, if you want to get in early, because it's only $3 a month to sign up. So go ahead, check out all that exclusive content, original programming. Again, patreon.com/snackspot. Check it out. And if you're interested in advertising on this show or our twin show, Scheming and Dreaming, or Quested, the Dungeons & Dragons podcast we produce right here, you can email us at snackspotsports@gmail.com for details on how you can start reaching thousands of listeners in the Buffalo area and beyond. Because podcast advertising has been shown to be at least 19% effective, is what I read in Forbes. More effective, I should say, than, you know, your traditional TV commercials, newspaper stuff, whatever it is, you know, more traditional advertising. And you can see that a lot as these companies like McDonald's, State Farm, NASCAR are moving into the podcast advertising space. They're all doing ads on podcasts. It's kind of crazy. It's cool to see companies of that size with, you know, ad budgets that large, you know, people that are doing spots for the Super Bowl and things like that. It's cool to see them move, you know, kind of away from that more traditional stuff into the podcasting space because, you know, it feels a little more relevant. But the problem is, it doesn't really leave any room for smaller or local businesses to get in on the action, at least not yet, but that's what we are here for. So again, if you're interested in learning all the benefits to podcast advertising, hit us up at snackspotsports@gmail.com. You ever see that Rocket Man movie with Taron Egerton where he plays Elton John? You know Taron Egerton, though, is the that's the kid from the Kingsman movies?
Yeah.
Eggsy? Dude. Eggsy. It's so good.
Is it?
I'm telling you.
I like Eggsy. Dude.
It's worth a watch. It is worth a watch. And you know me. I don't like musicals. But this, I mean, this is obviously, it's all Elton John songs, so it's really good.
There's two
but my God.
Two musicals I like.
There's one musical that I like.
What is it?
Phantom of the Opera, obviously.
Yeah, Phantom
of the
Opera.
The best one.
And The Greatest Showman. Fantastic movie.
So ridiculous.
Dude, they got
so
bangers in that movie.
Dude. My therapist,
you got Hugh Jackman?
My therapist told me, she's like, you should watch this movie called The Greatest Showman. And I laughed in her face. I really did. I felt
so
a little bad.
So therapy's going well.
Yeah, so I'm fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, those two. Now, I've never had the desire to watch the Rocket Man movie. I do love the Kingsman movies, though, as you know.
The speaking of cable movies, The King's Man was on, like, TBS or something. God, that movie
missed
so
on that
bad.
Movie. They missed so
hard.
I
had
was
potential.
So excited
It had a lot of
it.
Potential, but holy
I was
shit.
So... But you want to know who's in that movie? Is Rasputin.
Yeah. And that, and I do kind of like, I like anything with Rasputin in it, dude, because he's just, what a wild historical figure.
Just
swinging a true,
his, you know.
His two dicks, just swinging his two giant penises all around Russia, baby.
Rasputin, yeah.
That's a way to do it.
Yeah, they missed so wide on that movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do a prequel to those two movies, how is it not about Eggsy's dad?
Wow. What an interesting take.
What? How is it not about Eggsy's dad when, like, all the other dudes that are young?
Here's the thing like, that I also like about that.
Nobody gives a fuck about the creation.
I mean, I think
They could have done it a lot.
They could have done a lot
better.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. But, you know, the thing about doing an Eggsy's dad movie is that it would take place in, like, the 90s. And I think the aesthetic of that would be perfect. And obviously, a great part of those movies is the music. Each one has, you know, the Freebird in the church in the first one. And then the second one has that fight when they're storming the thing. I don't remember what song's going on there. It might be an Elton John song.
It is, because
Elton John's in
there.
Yeah. God damn it.
Elton
John. Fuck. Love that guy.
It's,
Leave on.
But there's also one of the greatest singing scenes in that movie of all time, in any movie ever.
Singing scenes?
Yeah.
Who's
when,
singing?
When, what's his name, steps on the landmine?
Of course, Merlin.
Merlin.
How could you forget his name, Matthew? How could you
forget
his name?
Dude, that scene is one of the greatest movie scenes of all time.
100%. They should show that. You know how sometimes at, like, the Oscars and stuff, they do, like, montages of movies from the past 10 years, 20 years from now, whatever it is, that scene should be included in one of those, like, Oscar, you know, like at the end of the great movie ride that used to be at Disney, how they would show that big thing, and it's like scenes from Casablanca and Lawrence of Arabia and all this stuff. Put Merlin in the mix, man. He's got the juice.
Anything but
shut up. Don't even say it.
Lawrence of Arabia.
My God, man.
What is the new ride that's in there now? We went on it.
The Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad. No, it's a fun ride. It's a fun ride.
I mean, nothing is the great movie.
I love that ride so much. And everybody made fun of me for it.
See, I can't find the answer to this question.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for what song that was.
Oh, in the...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna click it.
Yeah.
See if I can
play a little. Play a little snippet.
See if I can get a hear of it.
A hear of it. You got an ad or something?
No. I think I got God.
Classic.
I think I got God. Yeah, let's try this one.
Okay.
Well, this is once they already in the bar.
Sound like a bright idea. Sound like a bright idea, isn't it? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, because when they're fighting this guy, it is like a country song.
Okay.
But when they're fighting when he kills the robots, because remember Elton John gets on the piano?
I think that might be even a different part, though.
No, it's right
at
the
end. There's that part where they're killing all the guys right before they get into the bar.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I think Elton being on the piano is
no. That's when Elton breaks free. No, well, there's a part where Elton's on the piano because Poppy goes and like makes him play, but then he kicks the dude in the balls and like breaks free.
Yes, you're right. I do remember that.
At the end of Kingsman, I need to know what song this is.
Why don't you
Rocket Man? Is that what it is?
I'd be surprised if it was, actually.
It is.
Really?
Yeah. I think so. I'm about to confirm, though.
Okay.
Ad.
Classic. Dude, I'll tell you what. I got YouTube Premium, and it's fucking worth it. It's expensive as shit, but it is so good.
I have YouTube TV. I don't need to give YouTube all my money.
Well, can't hurt.
What is going on here? Why am I... Is this ad never ending?
Yeah. It's one of those never ending ads.
It was like the video never popped up. It was just a Samsung ad. Here we go. What the fuck is this? Oh, here we go.
Oh, down. No, when it's down, no. And when it's down,
yeah.
Down.
Ready?
Saturday night's a night I love. That's a good choice. Tonight for fighting and a little electronic.
That's the song it is. Saturday
That's a good call. Right. That's a good call.
That was a combination video, so that's why I thought it was Rocket Man. That video was a mix between the movie, him singing that song in the movie Rocket Man, like the young version of him, and then Eggsy fighting in the Kingsman 2 that song.
That's pretty cool. I'm telling you, man, that Taron Egerton guy, he has got a fucking voice on him, dude. He's so... Rocket Man,
is
it's worth a watch.
Is he actually British? Is that his real accent?
Yeah. He's British as hell. He's British as heck.
Bruv, isn't it? He talks exactly like how like people make fun of British people on the internet.
I wish I spoke that way.
Yeah.
Bruv. I
fucking
God.
Love it.
For saying bruv, bring it back, dude.
Bruv.
Nothing's...
I'll throw a bruv out there.
Nothing's funnier than British rap.
I fucked a bruv out, a bruv or two out there.
Big Ben. It's a clock.
Song was good. What was that song
man's
called?
Man's Not Hot.
Man's Not Hot.
Dude.
Man's Not
girl
Hot.
Girl, ask if you want a jacket. I said,
man's
not hot.
Dude, man's
Say, take
hot.
Off your jacket. I said,
man's
not hot.
Man's not hot. Man's Not Hot was good, dude.
That's a great tune.
Man's Not Hot was really good.
I think that's Sean Kingston.
No.
It might be. It might be a distant relative.
No,
Sean.
Big Shaq. That's who it was.
Sean King's man.
Big Shaq.
Yeah, Big Shaq. He's got a couple of hits.
Dude. Yes. 2 + 2 = 4. -1, that's 3 quick mess. Everyday men's on a block. Smoke trees. See your girl in the park. That girl is Uckus.
She's
when the
what?
Thing went quack, quack, quack. Your man was ducking. Dude, I forgot about that thing. I don't know. I hope that's not like a slur of some sort.
Yeah, we might have to bleep Uckus.
Yeah. That girl isn't... I'm going to Google it before I...
Say it again?
Yeah. Where's can I go on like a Rap Genius? Does that website still exist?
I've never heard of it, so I don't know.
Yes. And you can like click on what a lyric means. Oh, even Rap Genius doesn't know what it means. Oh, is it...
Oh, no.
Uckers is a British slang for a girl who's good at giving men oral sex. It's also synonymous with prostitute.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Uckus.
Yeah. Okay, that's
Jack
fine.
Jack the Ripper.
That.
Jack the Ripper taking down Arcus.
2 + 2 = 4. -1, that's 3. Quick mass.
Quick mass.
Everyday men's on the block.
One of the best
Smoke
lines.
Smoke trees. That's my favorite line. Smoke trees.
Terrific. Absolutely terrific.
I see your girl in the park. That girl is an Arcus. When the thing go quack, 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 your man's is ducking.
Not bad, Matthew.
I used to, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of
it's
that
a good,
song.
It's a good song. It's a yeah. good It's a good
Forgot
tune.
About it.
Yep. Also another song. I showed my buddy Levon, and he showed me that song, actually. It was the same trip.
Nice.
Yeah, good times.
Nice.
Oh, I need your help with something.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it a lot. I know you probably can't talk about it a lot. I don't want to talk about it a lot. But here's my problem. You've been a sports fan for way longer than I've had even any interest in sports.
I know sports.
I think that it's really dumb to despise a player, like a professional professional athlete that's like on an opposing team or something. I think that is so dumb. And yet, Matthew, I can't help but hate Travis Kelce with every fiber of my being. Matthew, I can't fucking stand that guy. I hate him so much. I don't like to say his name. I don't like to think about him. And look, the guy's just doing his fucking job. I don't know what it is. I think what I'm feeling is stupid. I think it's so dumb to be, because like I said, I mean, this guy's just, I mean, he doesn't get to pick what team he plays for, you know what I'm saying? But I just hate him. I hate him so much. Is there a way to deal with that?
No, that's sports, Andy. That's sports. See, here's the thing. Like, there's different, you go through different phases as being a sports fan. You're definitely in a phase.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a difficult phase to be in. I've been there a lot. There's a lot of, like, athletes that I hate. I don't necessarily hate athletes, because I don't really hate athletes because they play for, like, specific teams for the most part, though. Mm-hmm. I just hate them for, like, things that they've done, you know.
Sure.
Most, like, in playing for those teams. Things that they've done to my team, more specifically, probably. Like, a guy like Austin Matthews, like the Sabres and the Toronto Maple Leafs, huge rivalry. I love Austin Matthews. I think he's super cool. I think he's a really good hockey player. Like, I don't hate him. Maybe if the Sabres were good, I would feel differently. Like, if they were playing the Leafs in the playoffs and stuff like that. But I don't know. Like, I like watching those guys play hockey. What I'll say about Travis Kelce, if you're trying to fix this, there's an ice cream chain in Kansas City that it's like a custard place.
Okay.
And Travis Kelce has his own ice cream there. It is one of the best ice cream dishes I've, like, ever consumed. It is delicious.
I'd refuse to order it.
You might have to go try it.
I can't. What? Can you describe the flavors?
It's like a vanilla custard with, like, some caramel. I bet you I can look it up.
Yeah, let's see what we got.
Fuck. I can't think of the name of the place, though.
Scoops?
No.
Coney's?
I think I got it.
The Chill Zone? Chill Zone. We serve cold calzones. It's like the gazpacho of calzones. It's called Chill Zone.
It's vanilla custard with Oreo cookie dough, melted chocolate chip, and creamy caramel.
Okay.
And it sounds like 87 cents of every one purchase get donated to some Travis Kelce's foundation.
And that's the other thing. A guy like Travis Kelce.
Andy, it's so good.
That looks right up your alley. The place is called Andy's.
Yeah.
You couldn't remember that?
No.
It's called Andy's Old Fashioned Ice Cream, man.
Custard.
Old-fashioned custard. Excuse me.
Places. No free ads. Andy, that place slaps. Put it on your list.
Okay.
And that ice cream right there, delicious.
I'm sure it's very good. I'm sure it's very delicious.
Yeah. It was fantastic. So I would say start with the ice cream.
To try and heal those. These wounds won't seem to
Andy, I'll tell you something. We can get into the weeds a little bit on this. Obviously, the Bills lost in the divisional round again this year to the Kansas State Chiefs at home. I have hit a point in my sports fandom. I've hit a point. I love the city of Buffalo, and I've hit a point with this city that, like, I always understood, like, Buffalo sports is pain. I think I've felt, like, I think I've hit a breaking point. Like, I just don't, I'm at the point now where I just have no expectations of ever seeing a Buffalo sports franchise be successful.
I don't know, man. You know, when it happened, my wife and I were watching the game, and
she was probably fresh out of work, too.
Yeah. And it, the end of the game happens, and she's losing it. She's fired up, and she's trying to talk to me about it. She's trying to be like, "Can you believe this?"
Yeah, this.
And I'm catatonic.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't. I can't move. I can't even look at her. I can't do anything. I can't because I don't know, dude. I mean, oh God, I don't want to talk about it. I think I'm done with the NFL though. Like, I'll root for the Bills and stuff, you know, but not, but like, I'm done thinking of the NFL as like a legitimate sport company.
It is.
No, I'm saying no, because you've said it, you've revealed this on the podcast before, and I'm not sure how many people know this, but the NFL is classified as sports entertainment, right? Like the WWE, for example. So it's not illegal for them to...
Yes, it is.
You said it wasn't.
I've never said that in my life.
Check the tapes.
I would love for you to find me on tape saying that the NFL can script their games. That was
Faz. What? I think
that was Jake. Andy, that's ridiculous.
I feel like I'm fading away, like Back to the Future. I'd see through my hand. Okay, whatever, whatever. Must have been a different,
like,
different timeline.
I do love.
But I'm done. But I'm done. Yeah. No, I'm done with. I'm done with the NFL. And you know me, I was never a huge sports fan to begin with. But now, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with them. Especially, you know, you see this thing? They're bringing in the one ref, you know, for this Kansas City game, all that shit. I know it's dumb, Matthew. I know it's dumb. But you know that they want the Chiefs to win so that Taylor Swift can keep being on TV and shit like that, man. You know that's true.
Here's the thing about dynasties, though. And this is what I will argue to that point. Here, well, first of all.
Let me say.
No.
I got chills when you said dynasties just then. I love it. Please continue.
One. The whole ref thing, like, they said the same thing when they were coming to Buffalo last week. Like, oh, this ref, like, every time he refs against his crew, every time they ref against the Bills, like, the penalties are this, and every time they ref for the Chiefs, like, they do this. And I thought the game was called fine. Like, there's, you know, there was missed calls,
there,
like,
you
know, in different directions. But, dude, every time, like, people love to drum shit like that up. You know what I mean? And listen, that's not to be said that when you look at numbers, like, when you look at a league average of, like, 52%, like, row, like, of, you know, whatever, false starts or whatever, go to the road team usually, and this crew is only 41%. Like, okay, those numbers are staggering, but for all you know, one game could have skewed that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. You'd have to really deep dive. I think people pull certain numbers and they try to, like, say stuff like that. Or people try to say, like, bet the so-and-sos because this is the number. Right. And, like, you know, like, they're trying to push a narrative with stuff like that, which I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
But here's the thing that I don't necessarily agree with about the whole Taylor Swift thing is, one, well, and this is a personal take, I don't think that the NFL actually does care about Taylor Swift because I don't think they want anything to be bigger than the NFL. And there's already so many people that pay attention to the NFL. I was listening to somebody, like, because this was a compare. Somebody said these numbers, they're completely made up. But let's say there's 100 million Taylor Swift fans, right? That number, I have no idea what that data is. That number could be reasonable. And, you know, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift break up, Travis Kelce retires, whatever it may be, and, you know, only a million of those 100 million Taylor Swift fans are probably NFL fans now. Like, the NFL doesn't care about getting fans. Like, the NFL wants, like, fan stability.
Legacy fans.
Yes, they want fans to continue to grow and go. Taylor Swift, to me, is not going to create that. Yeah, you might be able to sell some, like, Super Bowl ads for a little bit more than they did last year if you're expecting higher numbers, whatever the case may be. But I don't think the NFL cares about that. I think the NFL views itself in too high of, like, regard. Like, we're the NFL. We don't need Taylor Swift to get us better numbers.
Sure. See,
here's the other thing.
Okay.
Dynasties are bad for sports. Because if you're casual, you want to watch the Super Bowl for a storyline, right? You don't want to see the same team there for the fifth time in 6 years. People get sick of that, right? People didn't want to see the Patriots win anymore. People didn't want to see the Tampa Bay Lightning win another Stanley Cup. Like, people don't want to see the same teams win over and over again with the same people. It becomes boring to them. If you're a casual fan, like, if you're a diehard fan, even if it's not for, you know, a specific team, yeah, maybe you'll want to watch it because you want to see somebody beat Tom Brady's Super Bowl record or whatever it might be. But the casual – dynasties are bad for the casual fan because people get bored of it. So that's why, to me, like, if you're the NFL, I don't know that you want to put the Chiefs – like, if you're truly rooting for the Chiefs to go back on the Super Bowl. Because, plus, you know, now you've got all these fans that they have Super Bowl merch from – 2 years ago, from last year. They have Super Bowl merch from 3 years ago. Like, right, they're not going to buy the same amount of stuff. They're not going to be, like, you know, they're going to still be excited, but dynasties, I think, are bad for sports.
Certainly.
For casual fans.
Sure. At a certain point, that is true. But a couple things. I mean, okay, dynasties. At a certain point, yes, it does get boring, but during the rise, as a dynasty is continuing to grow, it's very exciting. And that becomes the narrative, even for the casual people that
but
are
I don't
looking
think,
for it.
But I don't think they're already past the rise. People want to tear them down.
I feel
now.
No, I think they're still on the rise.
Andy,
and I'll
he's
tell,
been
no, I'll tell
for
you what,
6 years.
I
he's
know,
been
Matthew,
a six AFC
Matthew,
championships.
But I'm telling you, they're still on the rise because right now, and I think, and I'll elaborate on this a second, but look at how many podcasts and talk shows and whatever are talking about Patrick Mahomes up against Tom Brady for, like, best quarterback. That conversation is spreading like wildfire right now. And again, as far as content goes and even making money, I think even the NFL...
No.
It's focused on the present.
Because Taylor Swift,
and then you can
Andy,
grow from that. I'm not even talking about Taylor Swift. Although I don't think it's a situation where the NFL sees Taylor Swift as an entity that they want to not that they don't want to be bigger than them. I think they're like, yes, we are the NFL. Maybe they think they are bigger than Taylor Swift, and now we can bring her into the fold. And here's the other thing. Even if the NFL doesn't care about Taylor Swift being at these games, she gets so much TV time. I mean, you watch the Bills game. They were cutting to her all the time. The NFL's getting money from the TV people. And if the TV people care about Taylor Swift, then the NFL will care about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Same with the merchandise.
I don't think that the NFL cares about Taylor Swift as much as you think she does. As like people make it seem
true, 100 true,
and like also I think that early on when everything was first coming out, it was different. But like again, if you're a big Swiftie and you were gonna buy a Travis Kelce jersey, you already did it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna do it just because they're playing in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like that. Like again, it can only go so far. All like, and here's the other thing that I think is probably a huge challenge with the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, if you're either going to be somewhere where the Super Bowl's on or you're not, regardless of if you're a Taylor Swift fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody who's going to watch the Super Bowl has been watching the Super Bowl, like, or, you know, their family is, or they've been to Super Bowl parties, like, you know, with the exception of, like, the population increasing, I guess, I don't think that, like, the Super Bowl is growing in viewership.
If the Chiefs go this year, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Not true, dude. Because even if it's, like, let's see, because it's in February, it's, like, middle, you know, February 11th, so college kids are already back at school, right? Taylor Swift, I'm sure you know, does very well with, like, college girl demographics. If you're a college girl in a sorority house or in an all-girls dorm, something like that, maybe the Super Bowl's not usually on. But if Taylor Swift's there, this time I think it is going to increase the views. I think it absolutely is.
Yeah, but
And also with the merchandise thing, I think you're kind of right, but I don't think they've hit the peak with it. For example, well, you know what? I apologize for speaking to you about merchandise. Let me say that. However, what I just want to say is, like, you know me, I'm a collector of shit. And there's some stuff that I see online and I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I'd never buy it. I see it like 6 times. Sometimes I'm like, okay, you know what? This time I'm going to pull the trigger. So you keep getting it in front of people, getting it in front of people. I think especially if the Chiefs do get to the Super Bowl, you can still make plenty of money off the Swifties.
But I'm leaning too hard the other way, but because there's not one single ounce of my body that believes that the NFL wants the Chiefs in the Super Bowl because of Taylor Swift.
Fair.
Like, I just refuse to accept that, whether it's true or not. But it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I think that there's more. I don't know. We'll see this weekend. Also, Taylor Swift is, like, in, like, if you look at her concert schedule, her tour schedule, she's, like, in Argentina or something the Saturday night before the Super Bowl, which I guess she could. Or no, she's in Asia. She's in Japan the Saturday before the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I guess she could probably make it back. Think about all those emissions.
Yeah, just go with the fucking rotation of the earth, dude. You make it back in no time.
Yeah.
Time changes? Fuck, yeah. Dude. You'll be there before you know it. You get back on Saturday still. You leave Japan Saturday night. You get to America on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's time. That's how time zones work, dude.
I don't know. I just...
Christopher Nolan's got to make a movie about that shit. Do a time zone movie, Chris. Yeah. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's what it should be called.
Because I think if you're the NFL, like, again, the NFL is a massive organization. If you're the NFL and you are planning on somehow rigging that, I wouldn't have done it by randomly implanting a ref for, like, the last game leading up to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You would do it in a much, like, I think you would have done, you know, you would have got the Chiefs to be the one seed. Okay. Like, you would have.
I like this conversation.
Greased the wheels a lot more.
Ah, but we know that seeding at a certain point, it's like whatever, you know? When you're playing a knockout
playoff. That's not true at all.
Okay.
Both number one seeds are still left because they've only had to play one game.
How often does that really happen, though?
Probably almost every year, I bet. The one seed at least plays in that.
Listen, this is why we do the podcast. This is why we do the podcast, so I can learn things, so I can be put in my place when it's necessary.
I'm not
going
to say it's every year, but... I don't. I would have to assume. So there's obviously 2 1 seeds every year. I would have to assume at least one of the two plays in the AFC Championship, like, almost every year.
And I will say, here's the problem with conspiracies: is a conspiracy guy would be like, yeah, of course they wouldn't put him at the number one spot because that's too whatever. You know what I mean? You got to put him at the number two so nobody suspects
they were
it.
3.
But you are 3. Yeah. Even better. Now it's confirmed.
No,
now
but
it's
like,
positive.
Realistically, like, if you were writing the script, you wouldn't send them to Buffalo to play a Sunday night game in Buffalo.
Of course you would.
No, you would not.
I disagree. But honestly, you'd know better than me.
Not,
so.
Not if
but
you
I think
wanted
you
the Chiefs to win. Like, that is a, you know, obviously they did win, but I think that right there is one of your best chances of losing. You know what I mean?
Yes, but if better you than, look at it historically speaking, no.
Historically speaking, what though?
We've lost to the Chiefs every time in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, yeah, but they beat them this year in the regular season in Arrowhead.
And we've done that before.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, again, you can't predict that. Like, the Chiefs had not played as well as they did against in the game on Sunday night against the Bills one single time all year. That was, you know, I test alone. So I don't know, you know, I guess you'd have to look at the numbers, but offensively, that was the best the Chiefs have played through their first 18 games so far this year. You can't predict that. You can't predict how injured the Bills' defense was, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fair.
That's just why I don't think you could ever, unless you have a Buffalo Wild Wings button. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That would be cool. But unless you have that, then no.
If anybody's got a Buffalo Wild Wings button, though, it's Raji.
Yeah.
It's Raji G.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
He probably eats, but that's probably his favorite fucking wing.
I'm not saying there's not a lot of, I'm not saying, you know, there's not a lot going on behind the scenes, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's all I got. That's all I got on that topic.
Hey, dude, thanks for flushing that out with me a little bit. Yeah. That was fun. I've been on a big old, since the, oh, no, I want to talk about this, dude. I got to tell you, man, I know I don't talk about this, like, a lot on the podcast or whatever, but I'm going to do it now. I'm doing another play. I've been in a couple, and again, I don't, like, the only time I think I've ever really brought it up is that time when the people, like, saw my penis from the stage.
Yeah.
But the show that we're rehearsing in right now, it's so fun, Matthew, and it's a blast, and it's going to be so good, especially for, like, a tiny little community thing or whatever. I mean, I want to, you know, promote it more as, like, we get closer. It's in early March or something, but, dude, I got to tell you, this is going to be – it's so fun. It's so fun to,
City's
like,
going to be buzzing about this one?
I think, you know. Some city, at least a village, a town.
Do you guys do like a pre-performance for the critics? They do a little write-up.
What do they call that? I don't remember.
Previews.
They call it previews. Yeah, yeah. No previews, baby.
Fuck,
it's locked down.
I want to do a write-up and submit it to like the Tonawanda Globe or whatever. Fucking
sure.
Yeah.
The Cuba Sentinel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all the info you need right there.
Yeah.
But man, I'll tell you what, it's a blast. I really. Didn't think I wanted to like
do another one?
Yeah, I didn't think I wanted to. But the guy directing this, Mike, he's a great dude.
Shout out to
and
Mike.
And he was like, I want you to come in and do this. And I was like, all right, I can't say no.
And I can't like, say whatever. No to Mike, man.
I can't say no to Mike, dude.
Can't say no to Mike.
I was like, all right, I'll just kind of come in and, you know, do whatever and then I'll be done. But fuck, it's fun, man. And there's so many great people doing this one.
Look
like,
at that, man. Look
it's a
that.
Blast to be yelling on a stage. It feels really good.
Benny! That's
what
it is.
I know exactly. Yeah, the show's called Benny. And I play one of the Jets.
It is Jersey Boys.
Big girls don't cry.
Big girls
don't cry. No, you should have stayed low. You should have stayed low.
No, I stay high.
You should have. I stay high so I'm never low.
Smoke trees. Quick maths.
Yeah.
Smoke trees. I can only do it well if I'm doing it as part of 2 + 2 = 4 -1.
Yeah,
you
gotta do it in the voice.
Everyday men's on the block. Smoke trees.
Big Ben. That's a clock.
See your girl in the park.
I walked out.
That girl is an ox.
Ooh, there it is.
When a thing went quack, quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Your man's is ducking.
British smoke rap trees. Is the funniest thing in the entire world.
Smoke trees.
It's so.
Smoke trees.
It honestly feels like they're just like. First thought, let's go with it.
When the thing goes quick, quick, quick.
Like, I'll tell you, I mean, you listen to, like, American artists, and there's so, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And with British rap, and again, I love it, but it's just so, it's like, I don't know,
little
man.
Word vomity.
It's just like, bam, 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 you know what I mean? Whereas America's like, boom, da 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 da, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
People know, something like that.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But no.
Want to do the Hooter of the Week?
I don't remember who it is.
Fucking A, Andy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
But I don't know the name.
Is it
Doug?
Oh, okay. Versus Tim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doug versus Tim.
Doug versus Tim, baby. Deontay. yeah, keep it in. That's the name of the episode, Emily, Deon T.
No.
The Who Win of the Week this week is Doug Heffernan from King of Queens versus Tim the Toolman Taylor from Home Improvement. Now, Doug Heffernan can't be beat by anyone. He's the King of Queens, baby. He's never going to be taken down.
Honorable
He's
mention.
He's on the top of the mountain.
We should have done Doug from King of Queens versus Mike from Mike and Molly. Honorable mention.
And Mike still would have fucking gotten swept out of the way, swept under the rug immediately by Doug Heffernan.
No.
Can't be beat.
Tim, the tool man, Taylor.
Yeah.
Is a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got experience with his hands.
I'll tell you what, though. The guy, at one point, yes, tool man all the way. But the whole thing about Home Improvement is, you know, he has the show, Tool Time. The kid's gone soft. Tim Taylor has gone soft, okay? He's an entertainment.
He's too busy making
He's like
getting down in the
although,
nitty-gritty.
You know what? I don't want to say celebrity chef because Bobby Flay is a fucking man. That guy can cook. That guy could make this table taste fucking great. But Tim the Toolman Taylor, he's gone celebrity, man. He's sold out. He's soft. Doug Heffernan. Matthew, Doug Heffernan. I mean,
you're going to walk a beat downtown. The captain, you're going to walk a beat downtown.
The guy just can't be beat.
Name that movie.
The Other Guys.
Thank you.
Doug Heffernan is, I mean, for one, he's got the build.
He does have a build, not the build.
No,
he has
he's got the build, brother. He's got the build. No, you got to do him. Dude, it's Doug Heffernan all the way, man. It's not even close. He's lifting those packages every day.
Dude, he gets bossed around by his wife.
Who's fucking hot as shit. And also, yeah, she nags him a lot.
Runs his show.
No, she doesn't run
his dad runs his show.
That's her dad.
Her dad runs his show.
Not running the show.
Is that George Costanza's dad, too?
Yes, yes.
Oh, big time runs his show.
Oh, and I'll tell you what. Frank Costanza, one of the best TV characters of all times. Fuck, what's his name on King of Queens?
You're the only person
Arthur,
to ever watch
Arthur
it.
Spooner
yeah,
is his name
Arthur
on King
Spooner.
Of Queens.
That
Matthew,
right.
Arthur Spooner is, because he's in that show, you know, so much more than he was in Seinfeld, and when Jerry Stiller gets his chance to fucking spread his wings, dude,
he flies?
He soars, man. Yeah. He doesn't fly, he soars. He is so funny on that show. I mean, there's moment where they're like using a computer and it's got like voice to text, and they show him. He comes in, he's like, "Dad, check out this new program. It hears what you're saying and it types it." And he goes, "Oh, really?" And he goes into the mic and goes, "Bosoms." Hilarious. And then there's this one where they're having a cookout, and this kid draws a picture of him, and you know, it's a kid's picture. It looks fucking terrible. It's all just crayon or whatever. So the kid's like, "Mr. Spooner, I made a drawing for you." And he goes, "Oh, for me?" And he looks at it and he sees it's just like a stick figure with a big head. And he goes, "Don't quit your day job, Picasso!" He yells at this kid, and it's so funny, Matthew. But we're not talking about Arthur. We're talking about Doug Heffernan, the man, the myth, the one who's going to win this fight. He can't be beat, especially by a softy like
Tim. No, because Doug is legitimately soft. Like, dude, he's soft. He is soft.
He's a walking Viagra commercial, Matthew. How dare you say that?
No.
How dare you say that?
No.
Tim the Toolman Taylor is ED personified.
No. Yes. I think yes, it's the exact opposite. I think it's the exact opposite. He is deflated by his job all the time. He's a miserable guy.
Doug is a miserable guy?
Yeah.
Matthew,
he's doing
what he has to do to survive, man. He's a blue-collar guy, okay? He's putting in the time.
See, the problem is he's working a blue-collar job, I guess you could say, but he's not a blue-collar guy.
What
he's
the
got
goddamn hell are you
about
talking
him.
About? Well, Tim the Toolman Taylor is a fake blue-collar guy.
Oh, dude.
He's a phony.
He went through the
he's
ranks,
phony.
Dude. He
he's
went through the ranks. Doug's still walking a beat downtown. Tim the Tool Man is fucking the
so a sellout. He's
no,
a sellout.
He's the fucking chief. He's the chief of police, and Doug's walking a beat downtown.
He's
the
chief of sucking my nuts, brother. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that for free. He's got nothing on Doug. No matter what job Doug, no matter what job Doug has, he's putting the work in. He's putting the time in.
That's good. That's good.
Doug, I mean Doug. Doug takes it. He's and honestly,
yeah. Doug does take it in the ass, buddy.
Shut
yeah,
the
right
fuck
back
up.
At
shut
you.
The fuck
Doug,
up.
Doug is soft, Andy.
No, he's not.
Yes.
Matthew.
He walks a beat
no,
downtown.
He you, when he's when he's at home, he's trying to relax because he's working so hard delivering these fucking packages all the time. And you know what? Here's the thing, man. Yes, his wife is nagging him all the time, but Doug's still doing what Doug wants to do. That's the whole fucking point of the show. That's the whole fucking point of the show, kid. Is that Doug's wife
what
goes,
does he
don't
do, that
do
he
this
wants
thing.
To do.
Doug goes. Doug's wife. Doug's
I've never
wife
seen.
Goes,
I've never seen
thing.
Doug go out
and then
for
Doug
a beer.
Goes, okay.
Doug's never gone.
Okay,
out
then
for
you
a
haven't
beer.
Watched the show. Then you haven't watched the show. Then you haven't seen it.
All right, Jerry
and also
Seinfeld.
He drinks a lot of beer at home. Also, FYI.
Man, I haven't watched King of Queens in a really long time.
It's so good. One of the most underrated sitcom theme song of all time.
You've sang it before.
And I'll sing it again, baby, because it's a fucking classic. My back is getting tight. I'm sitting here in traffic on the Queens Road Bridge tonight. But I don't care, because all I want to do is cash my check and drive right home to you.
See, again, soft.
I'm not done, baby. All my life I will be driving home to you.
You just flung water on me and squished my pinky.
I do apologize for that. That was uncalled for. Now,
the theme
no,
song.
Matthew,
what's the Tim? What's Tool Time's theme song?
It's some shit like that. I swear to God,
yeah,
that's pretty
I like
much
that.
What it is.
I like
it's fucking
that.
Dumb. No, and Matthew, think about you're calling Doug soft based on the theme song. What is that theme song? It's a ballad of this man who's working to provide for his family. And of course he'd rather be spending time with them, but because they're the most important thing in his life, Matthew, he's willing to break his back for them every day in and day out. Tim the Toolman Taylor is trying to get away from his family.
No.
He's
yeah, exactly. That, Tim the Toolman Taylor is a real man. He wants to lock himself in his garage and not talk to his wife. That's what men in America used to do, Andy. That's what men in America used to do. They used to hide from their wives and children.
Mm-hmm. Some of them hid. Some of them are still hiding.
Yeah.
Some of them are still hiding.
Some of them have to be found.
Yeah. But brother, it's Doug Heffernan all the way.
I
mean,
with
he's
you.
Slamming Tim the Toolman to the ground. He's toast. Dude.
He's gonna throw one punch. He's gonna be like, broke my hand. Tim's got fucking rock fists, baby. He's got hard hands.
You gotta
he's
rewatch.
Been working with those puppies his whole life.
Excuse me. You gotta rewatch these shows because you are off base. You are off base, my friend.
See, here's the thing, Andy, is I couldn't tell you a single thing about either of them. This is all based off of how I perceive these two people.
Yeah, I hear you. And your perception
is correct.
Is incorrect.
No.
Yeah.
That's not how perception works.
Why you do this?
Because you just
I never get you and I got you, so I'm counting that as a win. Well, let's lock it in, dude, because it is what it is.
Clean sweep, 2-0.
It's Doug. It's Doug, Matthew. And also, I want to say this. And you know what? I might even include this in the Instagram clip, which I never do, but I might for this one. If you pick Tim the Toolman Taylor in the poll, you're a fucking idiot.
It's a split, folks, apparently. I thought this one was obvious, but we're going to split
down
the
You're right
middle.
About that. You are right about
Tim
that.
Tim the Toolman Taylor versus Doug fucking...
You know his name. You dirty.
Yeah.
You dirty, dirty
Doug Hemorrhoid. Doug,
Yeah, Doug Hemorrhoid's his
yeah,
name.
Doug,
fuck you.
What's his last name?
Heffernan.
Doug Heffernan. Heffernan. Yeah.
Doug Fat. Doug
yeah,
Fat,
Doug,
I think is his name.
Doug Heffernan. Vote on Dougie that on Fats. Friday on Instagram. Who would win of the week?
Terrific.
Whatever happened to...
Another great theme song. I still want to do... You know, I haven't done it, but I'm planning on doing a spoken word album. I'll announce it right now. I'm planning on doing a spoken word album. It's called Andrew Canada Says the Hits.
Okay.
And it's all theme songs, all TV show theme songs. So I actually have the lyrics printed out for like all the ones I'm going to do, but I haven't sat down
Are
here
they,
and like
You're
going to
sing
yet.
Them though or you're going to talk?
No, it's like, I'm going to do it like spoken word.
Is there any Michael
like
Caine,
spoken word
any
poetry.
Michael Caine features?
No, but maybe I'll do a special track,
a bonus track.
I'll do a bonus Michael Caine track. Just
and it's
for you.
The entire it's every line that Ben Affleck has in Good Will Hunting as that's Michael fair. Caine.
That's good. That's pretty good. I mean, that should just exist just for history. Yeah. Just to put that shit in a time capsule. You know what I mean, for future generations.
Also, another thing that we're gonna have to do is play 13 Dead on Drive.
Yeah, we are. That's going to be a weird podcast, but I don't care because
yeah,
that game has to be played. It has to be played.
If, for those of you who have never seen it, and I did look it up, so we just found out that I bought the 25th
anniversary edition.
25th? No, because it came out in 93, I thought.
I don't know. That's what it said on the box, didn't it?
I don't fucking remember. So maybe it came out in 89?
I could see that.
Well, there's this board game that we used to play. It was old when we played it, and then they came. It was called 13 Dead End Drive, kind of like Clue, the better version of Clue.
Way better version of Clue.
And then at some point they did come out with a version called 1313 Dead End Drive that was not as good. No. Some similar features, but not the same.
Yeah. The gameplay was kind of the same, but here's the thing, is 13 Dead End Drive is the pinnacle. And anybody who knows board games will know this, but there was a period in the 90s mostly, where board games had very elaborate like prop setups as part of the game. And they are so cool and so fun.
Dude.
Do you remember there was one
Forbidden
called
Bridge.
Forbidden Bridge?
Dude.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah. And I know that because I got an ad for it on Amazon.
Another great
and I
game.
This one was a little bit. I almost pulled it.
Cliffhanger, or whatever that game is.
Yeah, with the
stretchy
the
arm
guy,
guys.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Oh, dude.
Do you remember one called Don't Wake Dad? Don't Wake Up Dad.
No.
It's got like this mechanical dad in a bed, and if you lose the game or whatever, he like shoots up and he goes. Whoa.
Is that what that game was called? Cliffhanger.
I don't think so. But you know.
I'm going to look it up. But, yeah, wait. Before I look that up, I'll show you.
Man, remember those things that come after you in the bridge game? Those things are creepy.
Yeah, look.
Absolute classic.
Yeah. And it shook, too. Right? That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Look at that. Same setup and everything.
So cool.
Yeah.
What
I
a great game.
I got to look up that game. Dude, I want ice cream so bad.
I think I know a good spot.
Yeah. Let's hop on a plane real quick. Rock Jocks.
Rock Jocks. Dude, Rock that's a Jocks. 90s-ass name for that game.
Rock Jocks.
What a fun one.
Dude, can we get our hands on Rock Jocks?
I'll find Rock Jocks. You know who actually...
It might be like an eBay special.
You know who knows where to get Rock Jocks, Matthew?
Who?
Is Mike, who's directing the show.
Really?
He's got a huge board game collection, dude, like vintage board games and everything. Jocks.
But I want... See, here's the thing. Like, I want... Oh, dude, this game was so sick. That one's really expensive. See, this one's sketching me out. $15. I can't have all the pieces.
Let me see.
This one's $72.
I've been hitting eBay, well, not too much lately, but I've hit eBay before pretty hard. So I'm pretty...
See, I thought our guys were, like, green, though. Were they orange?
Yeah, they were orange. Yeah, that's them.
Yeah, dude, that's a good game. Yeah, dude, and you... Oh, what a good game. We need to get our hands on that, too. So we're going to play 13 Dead End Drive soon, and I'm fired up about it. Do we need it? Does Emily have to play?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I don't know how many people it requires.
I think you can play with two people, but the more the merrier. The more
leaving. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Maybe we'll let Emily play. Yeah.
Perks of the job.
That's all I got, though. I'm just excited to do that. I'm excited to play. I'm curious to, like, because the chandelier, everybody's chandelier had tape on it.
Yes.
Because it always would break.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to how long we can keep the chandelier alive. Know.
At least one round, at least one game, hopefully. I have to imagine.
Dude, what a fucking sick game.
Terrific.
I'm fired up.
Terrific.
Andy, I love you.
I love you too. Let's get out of here. Thanks, folks.